we're doing back-to-back book reports, which I don't usually do, but we hadn't had very many book reviews for a while. And Lydia sent this to me. She says, you know, you were talking about closing the other day. She hears a lot when I'm talking to people in my organization. She said, you know, people have issues with closing, so let's do closings. You know, so she sent me this little book, and so I read through it all, and it's a blessing. It gives you a lot of ideas. I actually picked up on quite a few of them myself, and sometimes even though you think you know everything, you surely don't know everything. Not that I take that position in life. I'm always looking to grow. But, you know, some of these areas where we seem to get satisfied with where we are, with what we do, there are other ways of tweaking it, and I think this book gave me a great opportunity to do that. So prayerfully, it will for all of you as well, because there's a lot of great information in it. And some people say, well, I've read Al Schrider's stuff. I mean, his stuff is old stuff. And I'm going to tell you, this book was published in 2017, so it's not old stuff. And, you know, some of it might be, obviously, because Al's been around for years and years, some of it is just his whole educational process that he's gone through network marketing. But there's some really good things. So pick up the things in there that really mean something to you and really, you know, focus on that whole aspect of closing, because that's, you know, when we talk about the four core steps, we talk about what? We talk about building your list, contact, invite, presentation, and follow up and close. So this is one of the four core principles. And if you don't have those four core trainings or skill sets, if you don't have those four core skill sets fully developed, then you should always be open to hear more and learn more, because those are what make the difference in our business. It really gets to those four core skills. So let's go through chapter by chapter, kind of, and I'm not going chapter by chapter, by the way, because there are like 90 chapters in the book or something. It's almost a chapter every other page. So not 90, but 50 chapters probably in the book. So I've just kind of glossed over the information, putting in here what I felt was most important for, you know, for us to learn today. And if I, just reading the preface of the book was pretty incredible, because in the preface of the book he said Sam Pitts has a wealth of quotes and jokes. He once told us, "We are not born to win or born to lose, but we are born to choose. We're not born to win or born to lose, but we're born to choose." And he said, "Wow, this puts the decision where it belongs, on our prospects, right?" And that's what our prospects have. They're born to choose, and they have the right to choose. So let's look at what we look at closing. And the first concept was about, is there a magical one-sentence close? And he said, well, of course not. There's no magical one-sentence close. And the most important reason for that is that we're all different people. Everybody thinks differently, operates differently, comes from a different position. So a one-sentence close wouldn't work if you used it uniformly, because people react to different things in different ways based on, you know, their lifestyles, their life history, their personality quadrants. There's so many variables out there. So you really want to become a great listener, right? And he suggested that closing doesn't happen at one time, and it doesn't happen at the end of the presentation. It happens before the presentation. In fact, you know, people are either predisposed before they even sit down with you. I mean, sometimes people just agreeing to hear a presentation are already predisposed to close. So it's already started. So what happens really in your presentation is they restart reconsidering whether they're going to, you know, whether their decision to move forward and do something different is really what they want to do. Because most people who show up at a event with you or allow you to do a presentation are already predisposed to make a decision to do something different. So you need to understand that every step of the way is where you can make a difference, every step of the way, not just in the final words. So if you're banking 100% of your effectiveness in network marketing on your closing, it's not going to work for you. Again, why we emphasize the four key steps, the four critical, you know, skill sets that you need to develop to be great in network marketing. So what are we doing now, asking for the close at the end? Well, that's, you know, if we ask for the close at the end, of course, that's when we start hearing all the kind of objections, like, I want to think it over, I need to talk it over with my spouse, I don't have any money, I don't know anyone, I'm too busy, it's not for me, I'm not a salesperson, it's too good to be true, you know, How many of you have heard those over and over again? Did I hit a few points for you? So it's not about the perfect statement at the end of the presentation, because there's not any given specific closing that's going to work. It's about understanding the psychology that's going on and then looking at different formatting and how I can close in a different in a given situation, depending on what they're saying or where they're going or how can I be in more control over the closing. So it's the timing is critical as well as the closing statement or the closing sentences, as he puts it, more so than, you know, how do you close somebody? He says, what about the closing sentences? He gets into asking an easy question. When we close, we don't want to do all the talking. So, and that's absolutely true. You know, you can get people to talk themselves into joining you if you just ask the right questions. And that's a critical. I love doing that when I'm working with people. And it's important for you to develop a skill around that instead of demanding that they say, okay, let's get started. That's another, I use an assume close a lot as well because I feel that I've already done so much legwork. I'm already, you know, I've already done the closing through the presentation. So it's like at the end, it's like, okay, let's get started. What products are you interested in getting? Let's talk about that. And that's how I like to close. That's just Mary Jo's mechanism because of the way I present and what I go through in the presentation. So again, I agree that closing takes place before the presentation, during the presentation, and then if you save it all for afterwards, you might find yourself a little in trouble. You want to get the person to talk at the end. You want to ask questions. So questions you could say, you seem to like what I showed you. Would you like to know how to get started? You know, so that can unveil some things. So what would you like to do next? Or what would you like me to do next? Or what works best for you? These are the kind of questions. So you can ask questions at the end instead of, are you ready to get started? You can say, well, so what did you like best? I like asking that. In fact, that's a famous statement by Ray Higdon, another, you know, super network marketer turned into trainer. You know, he just says he just likes to take you to a position where you're ready to get started. So, and that's what they're looking at doing. He says, so what did you like best about what you saw? When you focus on the positives in the presentation, that tends to lead people forward to closing. And whatever you say, whatever they say, Ray Higdon's position is, if you say, what did you like best about what you saw, whatever they say, you can go, you know what, that was my favorite part as well. And if you don't like to twist truth very much, sometimes what I'll use instead of saying that was my favorite part, because it probably wasn't, because the information wasn't even around back then, but I would say, you know what, that's one of the things I like best as well. You know, that's, you can still like it the best. You know, you don't have to suggest it was your favorite part. But using language to show the strength that you support them 100% in what they loved about what they saw. And that brings what? Because it brings that connectiveness between the two of you. And the more connected you get, the more likely is you're going to close. Because people want to be around people that are like thinkers to them. It rewards them for their thought process. They feel proud that they found the best thing in the presentation. You know, it puts them in a mind frame of willingness to move forward. So we want to give them permission to close, and then that also helps on letting them reveal to you their real objections or real concerns that they have instead of just throwing stuff at you. Because we talk about do we look for objections? Well, I look for them because I want to make sure that this is right for them as well and that they get all their answers. But I don't like the phony objections that you're going to get if you don't walk through some of these steps. Because the phony ones are the ones that, you know, they just come up with because what's the inherent thing we know about the human race? They don't like to make decisions. So you're stuck in that when you're out there trying to market anything or try to help people move forward in their lives to like to make decisions. So you're in the position to help make decisions for them. When you know the products, you'll be able to hear. When you know your product and your business well, you want to hear all their objections or their concerns because you're very well positioned to help overcome them. Another way of looking at it is like, what else is out there for you? So what are you going to do if you don't join us? Right? That's the kind of, or how else are you going to accomplish this? Or how else, what's your other alternative? So, you know, allow them to explain their other alternatives to get where they want. But you have to realize you had to do some research before to find out what is Matt lacking in their life, what is causing them to want to be part of you. So knowing their why, they're even looking at it, is really important. And that's part of the things we do up front, is find out more about them. So So focus on their issues. Yeah, where closing prospects is problem solving, not solution pushing. I love that concept. It's problem solving. So focus on their problems, because the more you deeply get them entrenched in their problems, the more anxious they're going to be to do something about it, right? Instead of getting more into your program, if you start promoting Manatech, how great it is, and this is how you can make money, and this is what you can do, and this is what you do, and blah, 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 now you're pushing a solution instead of helping them sit in their what's bothering them, what their problem is. You want to make them feel their problem. It's kind of like feel their pain, and we'll get into that in another chapter as well. So, and then he added in this part of the book, he talked about dealing with analytical type personalities, and there are many of them out there. For those of you who don't know the personality quadrants, this would be somebody who loves details, statistics, the science, always seems to need more information in order to make a decision. That's our analytical side personality. And so language with that type of person is kind of like, doesn't it make sense to help them move forward? Because they're always weighing the pros and cons, and they're looking at all the information. So you want to use language that matches up with that, which is another good reason to understand different personalities. It just really helps you. If you get a good education on personality quadrants, it really supports you in being the most effective you can be. Until I know there are people on the phone like Joellen and Michael who talked up earlier. They've been so entrenched in this for years, as I have, that We don't have to go through any conscious recognition of a personality quadrant. Our minds and our language immediately shift without even thinking about what quadrant they're in, because we learn to mirror them, and so we end up matching them in their quadrant without even, you know, saying, oh, this person is an X or this person is a Y or Z, whatever it is. But when you first get started with that, you'll find yourself doing more of that activity of determining, playing Sherlock Holmes, determining what quadrant they're in, and then, you know, now how do I interface with them best? When prospects aren't sure, like we have a lot of prospects that hate making decisions. You ever notice that with people? They try to procrastinate. So they start going off in a different direction. They want to, you know, put all sorts of roadblocks in front of you as you're trying to close them. Your job then becomes one of pointing out future consequences of not moving forward. So go back to what they told you, what you found their pain was, you know, what was their issue, and definitely acknowledge them for having the right to be in choice here. They have a choice. You say, you know, I understand that you have to make a choice, either move forward with the business or not. And then you come up with some language. If you don't know a lot about it, you could just say 5 years from now, you don't want to look back and question yourself, gee, I wonder what would have happened if I'd taken on that opportunity. See, people hate to miss something more than they – it's a funny part of our psychology. We don't want to miss something more than we want to – go do something. You get it? We to avoid missing something is more important for us to participate than just to choose outright directly with it. So, you know, so bringing up the fact that, you know, what would you say in 5 years from now when you look back and you go, I wonder what would have happened? Do you want to be in that position? Or if you ever felt that before about other opportunities you may have foregone in the past. And some people talk about it, you can even laugh. You can call, you know, a friend of mine talked about investing in Bitcoin, you know, a year ago when it was trading for a dollar, and now it's at $8,000, you know, I said, you don't want to look back, right? And this isn't Bitcoin. This isn't something that's just, you know, purely speculative. This is something that's about your energy and your effort and putting yourself in the best financial position. So I just made that up on this call, but it's something that you could use, something like that. You're not looking at speculation. And it's something that's relevant today in our world that people can relate to. So when they can relate to that, they're going to go, you know, and you say, what if it's like Bitcoin? You know, you make an investment in it today, a year from now, 5 years from now, you're bringing in $10,000 a month, and you don't want to look back 5 years from now and say, you know what, somebody approached me with that and I didn't see it. I just didn't see it. So great concept in terms of closing. it doesn't have to mean high pressure or life or death consequences, just like what I just went through with you. That wasn't life pressure or life and death consequences. It's just basically don't even use the word closing. When I go out there, number one, I don't sell, I share. That's what I always do. I have solutions for people's lives, right? And so when I'm getting to the closing part, I'm just supporting my prospects to make great decisions about where they're taking their next step in life. And that's how I look at this. What a great opportunity for you for the next step in your life. You know, that's how I look at it. So it's supporting people in overcoming their own insecurities and fears so that they can move forward. So that's how you look at yourself instead of using the closing word, if that's, because that sometimes is a roadblock for people. Getting people ready for the close, too. You want to, in advance of perhaps using a closing statement, you want to have them prepared, right? You want to, so that they're ready to do it. So you can even start talking about how you work with new people. And, you know, now I'd like to show you just how I work with new distributors, da, da, da. Before they've even closed, you can start talking that kind of language. And I like this comment, would you like to know the next step? If somebody is hemming and hawing, you can go, you know what, maybe you'd like to just take a peek at the next step. You get that? Because people, it helps them defer making the decision, because 99% of people say, okay, I'll look at that. But now you can show them something exciting about how in the first 30 to 90 days you want them to be making at least $500 a month. With our AQ team, this is outstanding way to close somebody. So you're actually taking them beyond the close, what their expectation could be in the first 30 to 90 days, to help them close. You get that? So that's kind of cool. A kind of a neat concept to think of. And again, we have, you know, I couldn't say this with our old compensation plan, but, you know, with the new one, it's just fun to look at that pod and go, in the next 30, 90 days, this is our approach to get you up to $500 a month. A lot of people would go, you mean in 90 days you think I could be making $500 extra a month? And I go, yeah. In fact, I'll just share with you something that happened to me last week. One of my brand new people we just signed up, she had some information about Manasek in the past, but never jumped on board and really got to do it. Now she's all in. So she steps in. She goes, okay, Mary Jo, I'm ready. And I sent her a picture of the pod because that's what I always start with, right? And our first coaching call, like 2 days later, she said to me, she said, Mary Jo, I already have my first five. And I'm like, you already have your first five. Okay, maybe you're one of those 30-day people. I know, it's really. Or maybe you're a new 15 person, right? We're doing this in 15 days, 15 people in 15 days. But how exciting is that? I mean, it's just because you get that excitement going. But again, for the close, sometimes bringing into what my, you know, let me show you the next step. So you can introduce them to that prospect of having that incredible income flow. A close you can use everywhere. He talks about it as the 9-word close, okay? Because what it does is it stops all the chit-chat. You know how sometimes you go around the song and dance when you're trying to close somebody and you're just back and forth and back and forth, blah, blah, blah. Gets to the decision without any rejection. It shows your prospect you want to serve them. It relaxes your prospects by giving them choices. It takes advantage of a subconscious mind program. We choose what is easier, not what is harder. Okay, that's our mind program that everyone has going on. So what does the close look like? It goes like this. So what is going to be easier for you? And the steps is going to be, you know, what can they do? Delay or make the decision not to go forward, or they can choose to go forward. But that's what you develop in your next statement. So what is going to be easier for you? To continue working that job you hate every day for the rest of your life, or to get started with your own business now, so maybe next year you can tell your boss, sayonara, right? You see how you do it? You're giving them what is going to be easier, this or this. So they're making a choice on that. So it's not just, are you ready to get started? It's a choice, a decision that you're making based on what you know about the person. So it's moving that person closer to making that decision. So what's going to be easier for you? And then he put in this book, this is real cute. He says, so what's going to be easier for you as you're reading this book? Learning these 9 words or continuing to feel badly when it's time to come to a close of a prospect, right? Take the pressure off the closing, especially for yourself, because prospects read that. managing the decision-making funnel, okay? Prospects hate complexity, so keep it simple. I think that's a problem with a lot of especially brand-new associates that get started in Manatech. They want to talk about every product. In fact, I was dealing with one of my associates the other day, and she was going, well, Mary Jo, I go through this, and I was sharing this product, and I said, stop it. And why did I say stop it? When I work with a person, I usually share maximum 4 products, usually 1. I talk about our breakthrough technology in glycobiology, yeah, how we were the founders of these glyconutrient technology and how we build our products and why it's so critical to understand this. And we really believe in everything being plant-digested, so that's our commitment. And then they get to know Ambertose. And then you know what happens in the presentation when we get to the close and we talk about what products to take? Well, we know you're going to want Ambertose, right? That's core 4. But let me tell you about a couple other I suggest. So it takes less than a minute to get them doing the combo pack. They don't need to know about the other 3 because you know why? They're already so all in and who Manatech is, what they formulated, the founder of Glyconutritionals, that they're ready to accept whatever else you're willing to give them. That's just a technique I happen to use. So it's just, taking control of that so it's not so complicated. My complexity, the only thing I really can deal with the Ambertose. Now, that doesn't work for everybody because somebody might have a different health condition. You're going to suggest another product. But then focus on that product and glycobiology. Don't focus on 12 products. Don't try to get somebody to understand their whole product catalog before they get started. That's something they can learn down the road. A person can easily take the 4 core products and build a gigantic business just about with those. They don't need to understand our true health, our essential oils, our, sports product. They don't even need, what makes you believe somebody has to know what you know in order to do the business? You didn't know it when you got started. So quit making it so complicated, okay? So make the decision funnel. Here's another part of the decision funnel. Is it life as is, or are you going to build yourself a repeating income stream? Offer the prospect a chance to keep their problems. In other words, you have a choice, and that's very much the same as the 9-word close that we just went over. And it's put a sense of urgency in it, too. How long can you wait? I mean, how many, sometimes I'll say to a prospect, have you looked at other opportunities to get you out of, your current financial situation? They go, oh, yeah, Mary Jo. And I said, well, what's causing you not to make a decision? How long can you wait? Are you waiting till the perfect opportunity comes along? Because trust me, there is no perfect opportunity. I'll tell you why I think ours is the best, but even ours is not perfect. See, sometimes you try to oversell your opportunity. And I love it. Eric Worre, in a lot of his talks and his presentations, he'll say, network marketing isn't perfect, but it's sure a heck of a lot better than other alternatives out there. Yeah. Or it sure is much better than having a J-O-B. Or it sure presents you a lifestyle of your dream potential that you have nowhere else that I can see. Or you follow me? So it's not that it's perfect. Take that off you don't oversell what network marketing is or isn't. Next, 8, be careful, 2 kinds of decisions. This was really very insightful to me as well. There's a decision of convenience and one of commitment. And I'm going to suggest that there are a lot of you on the call today that help people make a decision of convenience. In other words, you push your agenda so hard, and you make it so, and the person finally just like says, okay, I sign up. Where do I sign up? That is not a decision of commitment. It's a decision of convenience. It's easier for them to say yes than no. And there's a lot of play out there with how to close people, how to make it easy to say yes versus no. But if you get a decision of convenience, the problem is that is a person that probably won't be around with you for the next 60 to 90 days. And a lot of you have experienced that. And you get frustrated why, people just quit. I get people started. Well, are you getting them committed in their start, or are you doing it as just, it's easier for them to say yes than no because they don't want to disappoint you. Don't take advantage of that. Make sure, because, I look at it this way when I start new people, especially in the business. As customers, I really want them to understand it as well, so they understand the commitment and the 6-month money back guarantee. So I capture them for 6 months. That's critical for me. I always want them on the products for at least 6 months. For the people in the business arena, I want them to capture the vision. I want them to get, you know, what are you hesitating about? Let's talk about it, because, you know, when you get involved, I'm all in. I'm going to be doing coaching calls with you 3 times a week. We're going to do 3-way calls. We're going to see each other at conventions. I'll probably fly out to where you live if they're not local and to support you, blah, 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 all of these things. So Mary Jo is putting a lot of time and energy and investment into a new associate, right? So why do I want a decision of convenience? Not in this lifetime. Now, some people go, well, Mary Jo, but that person might lead me to somebody else. Well, I'm not sure they're going to lead you to anybody if they're not committed up front, because how are they going to attract other people if they're not committed? So you really want to push for that commitment. Focus on what's in it for them, how their life will be different. Now it becomes a commitment. Okay, number 9, 2 basic motivations, seek pleasure or avoid pain. Okay, what do you think the greatest motivation in our life is? Seeking pleasure or avoiding pain? Avoiding pain, much stronger. So when we go out there and we oversell our breakthrough technology with glyconutritionals and our testimonials, our beautiful future and all that kind of stuff, what are we doing? We're motivating people based on pleasure, right? So we haven't found where the person's pain is. So I'm suggesting that a lot of times we like to oversell what we have and forget to listen to them finding out where their pain is, and now help them with their decision based on a solution for their pain. When the pain is big enough, the prospect will close themselves, right? Amen. So it makes pain creates emotion effortlessly. So that's what you want, emotion. You want emotion going into that close. So think about that. How am I doing that? Why I'm always staying light and airy and all the best things, and I'm avoiding finding out about the person. I'm avoiding locating what their main motivation is going to be here, because we're more motivated by avoiding pain than we are about seeking pleasure. 10, what do you think? You know, when I saw this in the book, I almost gasped, because my dad used to say that all the time as I was growing up as a kid. So what do you think? That was his lead-in commentary on starting a conversation with his kids, because he didn't have anything, you know, else that he would say. Funny how I married a guy almost identical to that, isn't that? Just think about that. Anyway, okay, what do you think? So people say that. It really is my problem because of my history with my dad. But the reality is, it's not a bad thing for you to use, because it kind of opens up, and some of us don't want to ask that question because they're so scared to death of what they might say, and we don't have an answer to it. Even if you're brand new, if there are people on this call today who are brand new, you just joined in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I want to tell you, it's your best training ground. And if you don't know the answer to what they ask you, you can go, you know what, that's a great question. Let me get the answer to that. Let's do a call with my mentor, and let's find out what he would have to say with that. Because, you know, I just started this myself, so I'm not in a very good position to answer that, right? Be honest. People love honesty. We hate to do these kind of things because we want to pretend we're the know-it-alls. Well, I've been in network marketing for 22 years now, and I do not know it all by margins, okay? I love it. I train it. I teach it. You guys are on my Monday call every day, and I still will claim that I'm a neophyte when it comes to network marketing. There's so much out there for me left to learn, and I just love I'm hungry. So be honest about what you know, what you don't know, and that's your best bottom line is going to be honesty. People respect that and honor it. So ask them what they think. And people will respect you because you care about where they are, right? Yeah, they care about what you are. You're there to help your prospects, right? And that's what objections are. When you hear an objection from somebody, if you can't answer it, then it'll stay an objection, right? And so you want to make sure that you can overcome that objection. And the only way we're going to find that out is if you're asking people what they're thinking. So you can find out what they are thinking. What are the objections they have, so I can help them overcome that. Okay? And next, 11, inside the minds of our prospects. Our prospects' current state of mind is key to getting a yes. So what do we want to do? if somebody comes to you, let's say you've handed some information out to somebody and you have a follow-up date with them and you call them up, okay, you know, we have a date at 12, and they go, you know what, and they just tell you, say, oh my gosh, this morning, this is what happened, we lost our dog, blah, 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 I've got some people out there looking for it. Reschedule. The prospect state of mind is critical in you and your closing. If the person's panicky or anxious or something just happened in their life, or they had to run over to the school and pick up their child because they were sick, but maybe they still could meet up if that would work, and you go, no, you know what, hey, you've had a tough day, live this day, you need to be with your child, hey, we'll do it tomorrow. Be considerate, because you don't want people to be in the wrong mind frame, because otherwise your decision is almost a pre-made decision in their mind. They can't focus. They have something else that's taking over in their head, and they can't focus on what you're presenting to them. So be careful of that and be mindful of that. And you know what? It gives you a super, super opportunity to show how much you care, that you're empathetic with where they are in their life at that moment. They will love you for that. People just, they look at you and think, oh my gosh, what an awesome person. She really cared about me. Get it? So that's what you want. That's what you want to have as the reaction, as the, you know, the nurturing, that integral part of your relationship with that person, building that relationship, that they get it, that you're empathetic. Empathetic, okay? Empathetic is where you want them to conclude. So that's what number one. So don't push yourself to have a meeting with somebody just because it's scheduled. If something has come up that's causing strain, stress, emotional blur, whatever, anxiety, you don't want to be that. You're not going to get a good result. And you can't go in there. I mean, some people would go in and go, you know what, the reason you have this anxiety is because this is what's bothering you, and we have the solution. Wrong. That's the worst thing you can do. Because you're showing no empathy for what they're going through in the moment. You could talk about that a month later. Say, you remember that day that I couldn't help but thinking, oh my gosh, she really needs plus. And now look at you on plus today. My goodness, you know, that's fine. But not in the moment, right? Not in the moment. The likability factor, he lists some things. Most obvious things we should always do is smile. Don't argue or correct our prospects. Be a great listener. Compliment your prospect. And be respectful of your prospect's choices. If you write those five down and you just live by those five, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have 10 times better relationships with everybody you deal with. This isn't about network marketing people. This is really about how we get along with everybody. Why don't we argue or correct our prospects? And I'm a big arguer, trust me. I was trained to be an arguer. I was trained to be a lawyer, right? I mean, that's what I became in my life, so I get argumentative. But it was one of the main things that held me back when I started network marketing. I wanted to argue with everybody. I wanted to be right and make them wrong. I mean, it was like the nature of the beast. You can't, you know, how do you change the stripes on a, you know, zebra? You don't. Well, but you can change your stripes on a human being. We can change. And I had to learn how to become a great listener and somebody who could tolerate things that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I could sit back and say, well, maybe there's another way to look at it. See, in law, I would never use that terminology. I would have just went after him like, no tomorrow. But in this business, it's about being gentle, being a listener, really caring about where that person is, trying to put yourself in their shoes to see how they feel, instead of you always being focused on you and being right all the time, right? Compliment your prospect. Be respectful of your prospect's choices. Those are huge. If you just conquer those five, I'm telling you, could make all the difference in the world in your business. 12, we talk about objections, the big picture. Why do prospects have objections? Well, number one, they're not interested in what you're offering. They don't need what you're offering. They are content where they are. They have another solution in mind. They hate change. That's a huge one. Circle that with a few exclamation parts. They have no money. They don't have the authority to make decisions. There are a lot of reasons out there. And I've come across, if you've been in network marketing long enough, like 1 month, you've probably come across, if you're doing enough prospecting, I should say, you've probably come across each one of these seven that he listed in the book. But there are a lot of reasons why people have objections, and we have to recognize that's just part of who we are. You did too. you know, when I first looked at it, I had some humongous things, but I had one overlying factor that just erased every objection I possibly could have, and that was what happened to my dad, right? So when you have something tremendous that happened to your life, there's no such thing as an objection. But these people that you're talking to haven't had any experience with the products yet. So sometimes stories about other people's incredible experiences, of course, all compliant. Your own story is one of the most impactful things you can tell, and it should be less than a minute and a half. So if you're going beyond that, I suggest it's too long. And know how to tell your story. That's critical as well. There are four parts to telling your story, and you get them down and get them right and understand which one's the most important, right? That's really important. So, but people are going to have objections. So the first rule of objections is to agree at first. You can, hey, I hear what you say. Now, you don't have to say, you are absolutely right. That's not what agree means. Okay, it's I hear what you say, or you know, and all of you are intimately probably familiar with, and if you're not, you need to be, the feel, felt, found scenario, because that's a great way. Because people, when they talk about network marketing, and you go, oh my gosh, when, you know, imagine where I was. Like, I look at people and I said, imagine me, I'm a lawyer. I went and had all this post-high school education, massive, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at network marketing. What do you think was going through my mind, too? Right? Absolutely. I mean, network marketing, I'm going to do that. Why would I do that when I have all this background? Blah, 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 blah. So feel, felt, found is, hey, I felt, you know, now they get it. They're going to go, oh, yeah, Mary Jo, I could see how you would, like, that would be the last thing you wanted to do from your professional. And I said, but you know what? What I found is this is an incredible profession, and it's a much better profession for people that have an incredible compassion and a heart for others, because you get to go out there and help bring solution to people's lives every day of your life. And you don't have to charge them $500 an hour, and you don't have to be, you know, more articulate and pound on them and go after other people and sue people. You can just do it through just the incredible benefits of the products and the business opportunity that it presents to each and every person, no matter what their education, no matter where they are in life. So what a blessing we have. And it's been an answer of prayer to me. So, you know, so feel, felt, found. See, and that's what you do. So come from a heart and a perspective to really help people. And that's, you know, that's critical. How you overcome the toughest objection, I want to think it over. How do you do that? I mean, what do we do with I want to think it over? You know, we make a decision to move forward and change, or we make a decision to stay where we are. That's the language you can use with somebody. I want to think it over. And you go, you know what? We all are in a decision-making position. Some look at it like we can make a decision to move forward and change, which is what I'm offering you today. Or you can make a decision to stay exactly where you are. There's really no such thing as what? Thinking it over in real life. Because thinking it over is really kind of staying where you are. So that's one way of looking at it. One way you can respond to them. You can also talk about them saying it's okay. Relax. It's okay to make a decision not to join our business today. And continue, notice what you say, and continue living the life you've described to me, which is, you know, full of despair and not knowing and, you know, when the next check is coming and not being able to balance your books. That's a decision that you can make. But what you're doing is you're just showing that what they're doing is making a decision not to join the business. And instead of they're choosing to continue their lifestyle. And then you, right after you say it, but it's also okay to make a decision to move forward and position yourself so that in a year from now, you potentially can fire your boss and live the life of your dreams. So notice how you're making it okay to make either decision. So when you take somebody who wants to think it over, you can, again, go back into what is the decision they're really making. They're making a decision not to join our business today, and you're deciding to continue in the same job that you told me about that gets you nowhere, 8 to 5, not treated fairly, you don't even like your boss, blah, blah, blah. But it's also okay to make a decision to move forward and position yourself so that in a year from now, you can fire your boss and start living that life that you've always dreamt of. So show them there's an option here, and that not making a decision is actually making a decision. All right? So that's another great way to come up against those people that don't want to make a decision. If they don't have confidence, most presenters, keep showing more benefits. They talk about three ways, more brochures, but they're missing the point. They're missing the point. So overwhelming them with more benefits, more talk about three ways, more brochures is absolutely missing the point, because the point is the reason they're unsure is because of the lack of confidence. So if you just show how simple it can be to do our business, this would be another instance where you might say, well, let's say you did decide to go forward. Would you mind just taking a peek at what the next step would be? And then pull out the pod to show them how they can earn in 30 to 90 days an extra $500. That would be one of our next steps. I would work with you intimately. We'd do three-way calls together, get some of your friends, a couple people who have a vision for the business as well, and get them to get five customers, and now you're making $500 a month. You get it? That's the simplicity of it. Taking them, is it okay if I just show you the next step? Would it be okay if I just showed you? I know you want to think this over, but it would be okay if I just kind of showed you a glimpse of what the next step would be? Well, all right. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of a cool way to do it. And then the last chapter I want to go over is just a very dangerous word. He talks about we must be careful about using the word why when questioning our prospects. You don't say why. Our prospects have bad feelings and programs about the word why from childhood, just like you do. You know, when you're growing up, our parents would ask, why did you do that? Why did you? It brought on a feeling of guilt and embarrassment. Well, what do you think still with 99% of the people out there that you're working with? The same issue. You're going to build resistance, because when somebody asks you why, what do you all of a sudden become? You get defensive. Well, where did that come from? Your childhood. Instead of feeling why, oh, she's really interested in understanding more, we tend to be defensive, right? And we just hunker down in our positions, and then we want to justify them. So be careful about using the word why. What can we do instead? So let's say if somebody's like hesitating, and you can go, why are you hesitating? Instead, say, what's the main concern you have that's causing you to hesitate? Notice the difference. What's the main concern that you have that's causing you to hesitate? Why don't you want to join? There's that why again. Instead, ask them, what would happen if you joined my business right now? And make it exciting. What would happen? Have them start thinking about what the next step would be. Why are you unsure? Now, there's that why again. Why are they defensive posture, blah, 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 blah. Really, people, this is a huge lesson for you. Instead of saying, why are you unsure, what can I say instead? How can I make it safe for you to get started right now? Or what can I do to make it safe for you to get started right now? I love that statement. You guys get that? Write that one down. What can I do to make it safe for you to get started right now? It's a great, gentle, soft, you know, compassionate way of closing somebody. And then how many of you go, why don't you just get started right now? Mm-mm. What do I say instead of that? How about, how can I help you get started now? This little one-word change, avoiding the why, could be the difference between your prospect closing or rejecting your opportunity, just because of one word, that why word. So look at what and how are the words we substitute for why, and start building your language around that. This lesson alone could make all the difference in the world for you closing people. So just as final points, let me just highlight to you, I just kind of drafted a kind of a summary. Lots of different methods of closing are taught in this book. They're all interesting, and many I would never try because they're not my personality, but that's why he presents so many of them. Some of my thought, if some of you've known Al Schrider in the past, he's got gimmicks and all sorts. I'm not a gimmicky person. I am straightforward as they come, so it'd be really hard for me to do that. But some people are good with those. The psychology of closing is important for your success. So what do we want to do? Educate ourselves. I learned a ton from reading this silly little book. The book is not long. It's only like 115 pages. But I learned a lot, and I shared a lot with you today. And a lot of that was new to me. Even the whole concept of not using the word why, that just the last thing bit I shared with you is another big one for me, because I tend to be inquisitive, and now I'm going to be using different words like what and how in my languaging with people at the time of close. So do not use car sales. Use car salesman closing. These are people who are looking to build relationships for life in our business. So when you become a used car salesman in your close, what are you going to do the next 6 months to a year with the same person? Are you going to continue your used car salesman approach? No. When you look at this person as being somebody that's going to be sharing your life with you for the next 12 months, and trust me, I have people now, 22 years they've been with me in network marketing, and they're dear, dear friends. How would I feel if I used a used car salesman approach to them when I closed them? Not very good. I'm not building this for short run, a home run ball in 12 months. I'm building it for life, and that's what the relationships are to me. They're my life relationships. If we cajole, plead, bargain, manipulate, or force prospects to commit, we become the high-pressure salesman. So as Bob Newhart said in his famous YouTube, stop it, right? Stop it. Look at top network marketers. They're mothers, they're teachers, they're social workers, they're nurturers, most of them coming from nurturing professions. People in network marketing are volunteers. They must want to work the business. So hope that helps. Any comments, questions by anybody? Tell me what you learned today. I'd like to hear from you guys to see what you learned from the training this morning. Did you circle anything on the outline? Did something sound like something new to you that could help you close?
Mary Jo.
Yeah,
Mary Jo.
Yeah.
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
I ended up doing a little brief kind of get to know this gal, and of course, never having met before and under different circumstances, I had walked away because she said, well, my husband doesn't have a disease and stuff like this. And I thought, well, I really blew it. You know, I didn't, you know, she didn't get what glyconutritional was and how vital it was and to your health and blah, 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 blah. So I was really beating myself up. And now all of a sudden it's, and because this is has never been done before, now it's like, oh, okay, what is your life going to be like 5 years from now?
Yeah. Right.
You know, that really, so I'm going to have to get that little book, and I'm going to have to
really
study.
Yeah, there you
go.
Isn't that huge? You found an application immediately in a situation where you felt you really lost the close. And if you would have had that little bit of language, and you would have said, so where would your life be? And I mean, what is your life going to look like in 5 years from now? And that's focusing on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and just that little end to not be saying, you know, that why.
Why. Oh, huge. That's another good one. Great. I'm glad.
And,
good. Super.
And stuff. So
good. Great. Good. Well, listen to the call. Get the book. The book is a fast read for you guys, but, you know, it's really full of just absolute nuggets. Absolute nuggets. Yeah. Who else is on?
Mary Jo, what's the title of the book?
I'm sorry?
What's the actual title?
Closing for Network Marketing, Getting Across the Finish Line. That's the title. The title of the today's call. That's what the name of the book is. I believe that's I put out there, so I'm pretty sure that's it. And it's by, just look for Keith and Tom Schreider. Those are the authors, and you'll find it. It's got a big yellow. It's big yellow on the front. That's it. Okay.
Hello.
Mary Jo, this is Karen.
Karen? Okay, let's say Karen first. Go ahead, Karen.
I just wanted to say thank you because it just was such a good refresher. And, you know, I was kind of stewing about a person that is almost ready. And, you know, just almost ready. But I don't want them until they're committed. And so that was just a really great, you just had a few really good things to think about. And
uh-huh.
It's okay to wait. It's okay
yeah.
to wait.
It's okay to wait.
Until they're committed.
Right. It's okay to wait till they're committed. But it's also okay to, a person like that, I would say, I would use, you know what, it's okay to make the decision to continue doing this, this, and this, but it's also okay to make a decision to really jump after a solution for what's going on in your
I
life.
I love that.
You get that?
I love that.
And not,
yeah,
because that's
I
not
do.
Threatening, it's not pushy, it's just letting them know it's okay what they're going to do if they want to wait.
They are
but
making
it's,
a decision.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Each day they are making a decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Each
yeah.
day you go
Don't
without joining my business, you're making a decision. Absolutely.
Yeah,
good. Karen, great. Great, great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Yeah, the thing that I liked about, you know, not to be pushing to be, you know, pushing the solution, but more of a problem solving, you know, building more relationship rather than trying to, you know, be a network marketer and sell.
Right. Yeah,
you know, and substituting how instead of saying always why wouldn't you want to join this great team, for example, you know,
mm-hmm.
what can I do to help you? What can I do to make it safe for you? So those were like really highlights for me.
Great, Maru's great. Yeah, because again, and I never positioned it that way, but why is a threatening word? Isn't that fun? Just the psychology of why and where it comes from each and every one of us. Yeah, yeah, crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Hi.
Another thing is, this is Marlon.
Yep, I hear you.
This is, what the psychology part of it all, you know, they want easy. They want to avoid pain.
Right.
And they sure don't want to be embarrassed and feel guilty when you say why. So it always comes back to how much you truly have to focus and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Laura. Focusing, listening, critical. And, you know, they're trying to avoid pain. So don't make them, when you make somebody defensive in a close, and each and one of us, I'm sure we've done it. I mean, I can remember back when I first started network marketing. I mean, I was that forever lawyer, you know. Why aren't you going to do this? Why can't you see this? This is so clear. You know, it was like, why? You know, I was interrogating like a witness on a witness stand or something. And it's crazy. It's like, you know, all we do is push people away. You know, they want to hear your heart. They want to know you really care about them. So it's like, you know, it's getting rid of those words. Just a simple word like why can really make all the difference in the world in people's life. And using what or how or other words to use instead of that. Okay. Super. All right, everybody. Great. It sounds like everybody picked up some things. Great. Use them. Go back and re-listen to the call if you need to. But, you know, grab onto some of this and start using it starting today. Start picking up on this language. Write down what you want to do today. How can I maybe go fix a situation where I might have screwed it up? Or how can I look differently at the person I'm going to close today or tomorrow? And just, you know, always understand that we're forever growing and we're forever learning. And it's just grabbing new concepts, new ideas to make us the best we can be. Okay, everyone, have a great week. Love you guys.
Love you too.